All right. I want to share this morning with you. Before we do that, Ruben Jimenez, who attends our church here, sent me an email, and it was kind of humorous, and I thought, well, hey, you know, that'll be something kind of funny to sort of share with the congregation. So there was this gentleman whose name is Leroy. Leroy is traveling across country, and he finds himself in a church who he knows no one. So he goes in for the morning service. The service is held. At the end of the service, the pastor asks if there are any of those who need to have special prayer. Leroy, of course, raises his hand and comes to the front of the auditorium where he's met by the pastor, two or three other couples who are kind of prayer warriors in that particular church. So the pastor asks him, Leroy, what's your need today? He says, I want you to pray for my hearing. So immediately the pastor takes one of his fingers and pokes in one ear and puts his hand on top of his head on the other ear, and several people join in and they begin praying, and they pray for probably 5 minutes or so. And after that time is up, everyone kind of backs up. Pastor looks at Leroy and says, Leroy, how is your hearing? He says, I don't know. It's not for 2 more weeks. So I thought that was kind of cute. And Ruben had sent it by, and so I thought I'd share that this morning. But oh, I'm sure none of us have ever jumped in and prayed for the wrong thing at the wrong time, have we? So, all right. I want to share just with you this morning. I'm going to be looking in Joshua chapter 1 in just a few minutes. But we live in kind of different times in our world and perilous times. And so I want to share with you this morning some things kind of on that front, and then some things that we can look at from the Word of God that will be great reinforcement. The word this morning that came out was great. God is a mighty God. Do you believe that? He really is. And He's mighty in terms of our needs. He's mighty in terms of any difficulties, whatever we have. So recent days, our airwaves have been inundated with news and special broadcasts, sharing with the world the current state of our country, or at least the status to that point in time. And just when we think the worst has happened, we're made aware of a sometimes bigger problem on the home front. And suddenly, when we think that nothing else can possibly crop up on the scene, we are made aware again that there are still more serious situations waiting on the borders of our lives. It makes us and the rest of the world aware of how bad things are, and the fact and the fear that things may become increasingly worse before they get better. As we look at that as a believer, we can agree with that, because man doesn't have the answers, God does. And we need to pray that they can involve their wisdom with Him. So we look at OPEC cutting oil production so that the price of gasoline will rise again. Reduction of crude oil production by 2 to 3 million gallons a day. Oil spills in the Gulf. And much chatter over offshore drilling, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. World powers making threats against other countries or groups of people. Hot spots beginning to boil in many areas that will require the attention of the United States, and areas that will military experts attempting to determine how we can get out of where we are involved, and at the same time looking for ways to increase military power in the other areas where additional forces are needed. Wall Street up one day and down another as it responds to the signs of a very unsettled economy. Money markets both at home and also around the world. Continued discovery of CEOs and other key players who have mishandled funds or have received monstrous bonus payoffs, all at the expense of us, the investors. Bailouts, corporations standing in line for handouts that will supposedly keep them from going under. What started with banks and mortgage companies and insurance brokers has spread to many other areas. And who knows who will be next in line to apply for their piece of the pie. Auto manufacturers wanting a handout that may or may not be adequate for them to make the changes that are necessary for survival. Crisis is partly due to the fact of workers who have been receiving exorbitant salaries and benefits which the car manufacturers can no longer afford. Are they willing to make an adjustment, or will they just let the car agencies go under? Bank buyouts, more of these occurring than ever before in the history of our country. Household names of banks disappearing and being snatched up by the bigger banks in our country. Foreclosures reaching an all-time high across our nation. Result of people being allowed to buy more home than their personal bank accounts can accommodate. overusage of interest-only loans and too many adjustable-rate mortgages, too many homes built, and not enough price regulation on land and dwellings. Prices allowed to continue to rise, knowing that this could not continue to go in this direction without serious consequences, thinking that the price bubble would never break and prices would just keep going up and up and up. Presidents trying to select the most experienced cabinet possible so that they can begin to address the major cabinet the major problems of our country. Realize that our nation is in the worst shape that it's been during his recent campaign, and having to reevaluate promises made as to their accuracy and his ability to do what he told the American people he would do. I doubt if there are many of us who would stand in line this morning and volunteer for the job of presidency of our country. Have we seen the end of the problems yet? No. But, you see, God is in control, and God is in charge of everything. Renewal of terrorist threats, people of America made to live in fear, and uncertainty because of, recent and continuing threats from terrorist groups around the world. Investment gurus providing a steady flow of advice of where and where not you should invest money and how your financial portfolio should look during our unsettled times, each of them wishing to ensure you that investments with them will be safe. And in the same breath, more cases of misuse of funds seems to cross the news waves on a daily basis. Financial experts trying to determine which all of this will end and when we will be back on solid ground as a nation again, and trying to build trust in the lives of Americans, even though many of them have lost all they have, basically, because of misallocation of funds and mismanagement of resources. As we look at this whole process, nuclear war threats, Iran threatening to totally wipe Israel off the face of the map, Iraqi and Afghanistanis fronts both active and Afghanistan calling for more military power to add to what they already have in place. Upheaval in the Middle East, Israel involved in conflict with its neighbors. And we find the president of our country telling them what they need to do and should do and can and can't do in recent days. Threats that are destroying our earth, which is debated by so many called experts in this field. School systems in America are reportedly failing to do even an adequate job, and what it will take to fix it, no one really knows. Federal and state budgets, huge deficits, and no real easy way to solve it. Possible refunds will be issued by the state for those of you who have refunds coming for your taxes, and they don't have money enough to pay for them. Voices everywhere. Some sharing gloom, some threats, some expressing what they believe to be possible solutions, and many a sense of continued uncertainty about where all of this is going. Many of you have also faced hardships and difficulties during the past days. Some of you have lost family members, and some have lost jobs or have taken a cut in hours and salary, or maybe facing the threat of relocating if you want to remain employed by the same company. Some of you have had to face tough times in the hospital while dealing with serious illnesses of your own or members of your family. Some of you have had to deal with relational problems that have had a direct impact on your daily lives. Some of you may have been involved in the real estate market crunch in one way or another. Some of you have suffered losses in the stock market or other investment programs. All of these are things that are of concern to each of us, bring sadness to us, and again reinforce to us that we live in a very uncertain world where nothing is really solid today and maybe solid tomorrow. But in spite of all of the mess our world is in, or regardless of the problems that invaded your lives this year, we can come away with a smile on our face and joy in our hearts because of the fact our God reigns over everything. And we know that regardless of what the new year brings our way, we need not fear because we know who holds our future and the future of the world around us. Charles Swindoll, in his book, Laugh Again, shared this thought. He said, we can dream, we can think, plan, hope, and even pray. But without perseverance, our lives will be nothing more than empty wishes. Those who hang tough, however, refusing to give up, No matter how difficult or demanding or disappointing the challenges may be, are the ones who stand the best chance of realizing their fondest dreams. As you and I sit here this morning, we can rest assured in the fact that our God is in control. Our God is in control of everything, and we can rely upon that regardless of how gloom it looks to each of us. We can look beyond that and find some references in Scripture that will bolster our faith this morning. If we look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man, notice what it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that they may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate in it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice what he says again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a pretty exciting truth this morning, isn't it? Regardless of what we see in the natural, regardless of what we look in terms of the economic market, regardless of what we see anywhere in our world, we can rest assured in the fact that God is in control and that we need to look forward to that and understand that he is our God, our personal God who will see us through even the most difficult times. In Joshua chapter 27, we find that Joshua was set apart and given authority as the predecessor of Moses. And Numbers 27, verse 15, we find, then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give him authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and his word they shall come in, and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him just as the Lord commanded by the hands of Moses. Now Moses gives Joshua over one more final word, which we find in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And what he says to him is, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, again, the words, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with the people to this land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. What comforting words to us again this morning as we look at that. We can echo the same words. And the Lord, he is the one who goes not with you, but before you as well as with you. He will be with you all the time. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. The Message Bible puts it this way. God your God will cross the river ahead of you and destroy the nations in your path so that you may dispossess them. And Joshua will cross the river before you as God said he would. God will give the nations the same treatment he gave the kings of the Amorites and of Sihon and Og and their land, and he'll destroy them. God will hand the nations over to you, and you'll treat them exactly as I have commanded you. Notice the words again. Be strong. Take courage. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought, because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down, and he won't leave you. Then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him with all Israel watching, words again, be strong. Take courage. You will enter the land with his people, this land that God promised their ancestors that he'd give them. You will make them the proud possessors of it. God is striding ahead of you. He is right with you. He won't let you down, and he won't leave you. Don't be intimidated, and don't worry. What beautiful words for us today. As we face uncertain times, as we face impossible situations, as we find and face problems we have no answers to, we can look back to the words we read just a moment ago. God is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Don't be intimidated. And most of all, don't worry. As we look back at our text in Joshua chapter 1, we find that the first thing that God did was tell Joshua to come on and go over to the land that God was giving them. Every place that the bottom of their shoe touched, God had given to them. This was God's first promise to Joshua and the children of Israel, was that he would give them the land that he had promised. And I thought about how that relates to us. What a great promise for us to accept as well. This year, everywhere the sole of our shoe touches on the desert, we can claim that territory for God. His word declares that we are to go into the world and preach the gospel. And what an exciting thought that would be as we claim a large portion of Phelan, Pinyon Hills, Hesperia, Apple Valley, Victorville, Oak Hills, Atlanta, and the list goes on and on and on as we look at the communities around. And we could experience a tremendous revival because of what God is doing in each of their lives. Do we have reason to fear? In the natural, we do. In the natural, things are very uncertain. In the natural, things look awfully bad. But you see, in spite of all of that, our God is in control and reigns forever. Find also in the Message Bible, yes, as we share that, that wraps it up. God is strong. He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, made weapons of best materials, and put them to sea. You will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. And yes, we know that. Take all the help with you you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them through your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. And in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. We are to pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. What a beautiful thought as we look at that. One of the responsibilities and privileges I believe that each of us has is the fact that not only each of us need to make it, but we need to be a armor bearer for the rest of the individuals that we come in contact with. What an opportunity for us as a church, not only individuals, but as a church, to stand together and see what God will do as we give ourselves totally to him. God told Joshua that the land was theirs. Go up and claim it. What a challenge for us as well. Claim the desert. Claim our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our families, our casual acquaintances, all for God. Notice the area Joshua and the children of Israel were to claim was not just some city-sized lot, but it covered an extensive area. The past is dead and gone. Let's look ahead and dare to believe God to help us claim territory for him during the rest of this year so we can have sheaves to lay at the Master's feet. Second promise that God made to Joshua is found in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The songwriter put it this way. He said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. What a comforting promise to have. That regardless of what I am confronted with during the coming year and days, regardless of how impossible it seems, regardless of how tempted I am to give up, regardless of the fact that it seems to be going on forever, regardless of what critics say, I can rest absolutely assured of the fact that God will always be there in the middle of the conflict or situation with me, and his presence is as close as my call. What a beautiful thought for us. Is that real today? Absolutely. We can sense that just as Moses and Joshua did. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, and David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Why? Because the Lord God, notice what he says, my God will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6 says, let your conduct be without, covetousness, says, be kind with the things that you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14, discussion with Moses, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. What a beautiful, consoling thought again. As we face troubled times in which we don't know how to manage always, as we trace troubled times that we don't have the answers to, we can look back at this and not only realize that God is there in a mighty way, but we can also experience the rest that God brings to each of our lives. This was the second promise that Joshua received, is that God would always be with him. How true that is in our lives. His presence will always be with us. I start my day by inviting his presence to go with me. It's great to have the promise of his presence and know that at any time I can tap into that power of his presence. He is continuously there, even when I don't feel it. His presence like I would like to. He has promised to be there. And when I tap into it on a regular basis, it doesn't take long to know that he is there any time of the day or night. Especially during the darkest night or in the middle of the most devastating storm, he is always there. With that kind of assurance, it was easy for Joshua to forge ahead and fulfill God's will in his life. What's the application for our lives today? We can have the same assurance that Joshua experienced. As we move out and venture into new endeavors, we know without a shadow of a doubt that he is with us. As we put the sole of our foot in new unclaimed territories on the high desert or wherever it may be, we can rest assured that he will go before us to help prepare the way. What an exciting thought. A new time filled with new opportunities and the absolute assurance that God is with us in each and every one of them. Let's be brave. Let's be bold. Let's venture out and see what God will do with us during the coming days. Our God reigns. Let's let him reign in our lives like he has never done before. Let's move in and claim our promised land and see God do great things for his glory. In verse 5, he says, it's our assurance of victory. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you. In other words, no man will be able to hinder what you're going to do. God is greater than, and you can fill in the blank. Be bold. Be brave. Be mighty in the power of God. As we look at our government leaders and look at foreign leaders around the world, we find many of them that think they are so powerful and so mighty. And yet as we look at this, our God is greater. and he can do absolutely anything. We need to be bold and brave and mighty in the power of God. The third promise that God gave to Joshua was that he would keep his promise with his people with regards to the land he had promised them. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, he says again, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide its inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." God has already given us access to the land, the high desert. It is our job to move out and claim it. Can Jubilee make a difference in the spiritual climate of the high desert? Are there fronts to attack to see what God can do with each of us? We aren't going to win them all, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can certainly see God do awesome things in places where God has placed us during the coming time. You will be more effective in your part of the world than I'll ever be. But let's reach out and see what God will do with us individually and collectively in our part of the promised land. We need to realize and understand again, no man will stand before us. No man will hinder us. Why? Because God is a mighty God, and he will go with us to do whatever we need to do and whenever we need to do that. The last direction that is given to Joshua and the children of Israel is, regarding the importance of the word. If you look in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Exodus chapter 7, verse 14 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Exodus chapter 24, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings, and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. Then Moses took half the blood and put it in the basin, half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient." How fortunate we are today that we have the entire scriptures that we can look at for support and to help us in terms of the battles and things that we face. Deuteronomy chapter 31 says, "And Moses wrote the law and delivered it unto the priests, the son of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all of Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place where he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger which is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of his law, and that the children which have not known anything may hear and may learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it." Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper." The courage that is spoken of in verse 8 comes from time spent in the Word of God. Prosperity also comes from meditating and studying the Word of God. God had a specific plan in mind for the exposure of the people to his Word. It covered all ages and strangers who might be visiting in the camp. And it was rehearsed regularly that they might not forget the laws and the Word that God had said before them. It's hard to use an instructional tool, that the people may know how to live and what to do and not do. The emphasis was the same for them as it is for us. They and we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden my heart so that I might not sin against you." 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." John chapter 8 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Hebrews chapter 4 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Look back at the beginning of that verse. I think it's so beautiful what it says, and such a powerful truth. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's where each of us, I'm sure, this morning want to be. Not going forward in our own strength, not going forward in our own power, but going forward in the power and the strength of Almighty God, so that no one can stand before us, but we can see great things happen as a result of the power of God at work in our lives. Moses and Joshua knew that there were many benefits to making the Word of God a part of their lives, and we too reap the same benefits. I'd like to suggest for you just 10 of them that come out of the verses that we've read. One says that the Word is a discerner of the truth. It's the equipper of the saints for service. It's clarity of doctrine. Preparation for leadership and ministry. The Word provides direction. The Word acts as a shield from sin. Provides self-evaluation. Provides biblical instruction. Builds courage in our lives. And helps us to learn to trust God. Many other benefits as well. But Moses and Joshua knew these benefits, and so they set a plan in place to gain the maximum amount of benefit from each of them. If we are going to be as prepared as we possibly can be for service, we too must make sure that we are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. In quick review, Joshua gained the following from verses in chapter 1 of Joshua. And first of all, the promise of the land was given to them. Secondly, and most important, the promise of God's presence was there on a continual basis. The promise that God would keep his word was the third. And the fourth was the importance of the word of God in our lives. Not just hearing it, but involving ourselves in it and doing what it directs us to do. Let's view the days ahead with the opportunity to see God do great things through us for his glory. Let's step out and let the soles of our feet claim new territories for God. And we can see a harvest of new people who join the kingdom for the very first time. In ourselves, we are very limited. But with God, all things are possible. Let's put God to the test and experience him moving mightily on our behalf. As we look at what we've looked at this morning, we can see the importance of God at work within our lives. He's mighty, he's all-powerful, and he's there on a continuing basis as we experience his presence on a moment-by-moment basis. I am looking forward to what God has in store for this congregation. God has great things for Jubilee Community Church. We aren't here just by chance or by accident, but we're here through God's ordained habit, and he's going to work and minister through us as we see him accomplish great and mighty things in each of our lives. Father, today we are thankful for your blessings. We are thankful for your word that has spoken so directly to each of us. And Father, we want to experience the greatest year we have ever had in doing things for you and bringing glory and honor to your name. We want, Lord, to reach out and, Father, to see a harvest of souls come to you because of the efforts in the ministry of this congregation. And Lord, we know that in ourselves we can do nothing, but Lord, we know that with you all things are possible because you are a mighty God, mighty God. And because of you, no one will stand in our way to block or hinder. Father, we just believe you for that in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we can look back and say, God, it's been great to experience your power at work through our hearts and through our lives and through this congregation. We ask you, Lord, to go with us, I pray, from this place. Guide, direct, and keep us throughout this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, if you will, please, this morning. Our pastor always closes with the blessing, and we'd like to do that as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.